Well, if you would turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 8, Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 through 27. Very familiar story, an important story as we reflect on it today. Matthew 8, verse 23 to 27. Following the reading of Scripture, we'll sing together the Gloria Patri. Please stand together for the reading of God's holy word. Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." And he replied, "You have little faith. Why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. And the men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." And God will add his blessing to this reading of his word. Amen. After the brief interlude, kind of a change of topic on the cost of discipleship, that interview with the two applicants for becoming disciples, Matthew resumes the story. And it's a kind of a simple statement there in verse 23, but it's really kind of profound, with him having just made the point that the cost of discipleship is to really give up everything and follow me. It's interesting that he gets into the boat, pretty simple statement, but then, and his disciples followed him. Now, the disciples are going to learn very quickly what the cost of discipleship means. Their faith is going to be tested in a supreme way. And the test comes in the crisis of this storm that comes upon them. They're in their boat. They're traveling across what's the Sea of Galilee or the Lake of Galilee. It's we have bigger lakes than that in Texas and in the United States. But we're told here, without warning, a furious storm came upon the lake. And literally, what Matthew writes is a great earthquake happened on the sea. It's almost as though the sea was shaken and everything on it was shaken as well. The other gospel accounts talk about a furious squall came up, a hurricane, literally a hurricane wind. And the Sea of Galilee, its topography, its geography was such that that could happen very quickly. The wind coming down from the mountains and onto the lake and stirring it up, and it would be a terrible, terrible storm. And these were sailors that were in the boat with Jesus. They knew all about being on the lake, and no doubt they had experienced a few shaking storms in the past, but this was no normal storm. And they knew they were going to die. And we see the deity, we see the divine nature of God revealed both in our Savior Jesus Christ, but in this event, in a couple different ways. One is in the storm itself. Suddenly, without warning, this storm comes. They were going about their business, normal daily affairs of life, and a storm comes. And while I don't want to take anything away from the actual, literal miracle that Jesus performs here and the event that they're going through, in a sense we can see a metaphor of our own lives. In Psalm 107, there are several vignettes of God's deliverance, and one of them has to do with the sea. It says, "Others went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep, for he, that is God, spoke and stirred up a tempest." The storm has nothing to do with geography. It has nothing to do with weather. It has everything to do with the purposes of Almighty God. The disciples needed a storm. They didn't want it, but they needed a storm. There are things God teaches us in storms, in the storms of our own lives, that we learn in no other way and in no other time. And without the difficulties of the storms, there are things, there's spiritual growth that we wouldn't experience. And so the Bible throughout says we rejoice in our sufferings. Doesn't sound like something you and I want to rejoice on, but we rejoice in our sufferings because we know that the suffering produces the spiritual virtues that God wants to produce in our lives. So this storm that came upon the disciples with Jesus there in the boat was not nothing to do with geography. It had everything to do with the divine purpose and plan of Almighty God. It was important for the disciples. The storms that come into your life are important for you. We see the divine character of God, particularly in the person of Jesus Christ, because this storm is raging and the disciples are crying out because they know they're going to drown. And where's Jesus in all of this? He's asleep. He's asleep in the boat. It's a picture in an amazing way, both of one who, on the one hand, of someone who is utterly and completely exhausted, that he can sleep through a storm. But it's also a vivid picture of the incarnation, that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, lived every moment in utter dependence upon the will of his Father. And he could sleep, because he knew God was in control. He knew the Father's will would be accomplished. And so he could sleep. He didn't have to stay up and fret. And in an amazing way, we see in Jesus' weakness and his omnipotence a beautiful picture of what a complete and wonderful Savior Jesus Christ is for us. The writer of Hebrews tells us that we have a high priest who is able to be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, because he was tempted in every way just as we are, yet without sin. And the result of that is so that we can come boldly to the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. There's divine peace and divine omnipotence. And in Jesus Christ, the Son of Man and the Son of God, there's human weakness. There's divine, mighty power. The perception of the disciples is Jesus is unaware and ignoring the peril that they're in. He hasn't ignored it. He hasn't dismissed it. The question that comes to our mind when we're in the midst of our own storms is, does God know? Does he care? Where is God? He's in the boat. He's in the boat with them. They can go through the storm because they have God with them. You go through your storms, you ask the question, I ask the question, where is God? He's there in the boat with me. I just need to notice it and see it and remember it. He's going to reveal himself as the one who has the power over the storm. He has the power over the storms in our life. Even if our boat sinks, God's there. God's purposes are being fulfilled. J.C. Ryle writes, Christ's service does not exempt his servants from storms. Here were the 12 disciples in the path of duty, and they were obediently following Jesus wherever he went. Yet here we see these men in trouble, tossed up and down by a tempest and in danger of being drowned. Mark well this lesson. If we are true Christians, we must not expect everything to be smooth in our journey to heaven. We must count it no strange thing if we have to endure sickness, losses, bereavements, and disappointments, just like other men. Free pardon and full forgiveness, grace along the way, and glory at the end. All this our Savior has promised to give. But he has never promised that we shall have no afflictions. He loves us too well to promise that. It's an amazing thought, isn't it? He loves you so much that he can't promise you that you won't struggle or that you won't suffer. They're in the crisis of the storm. And then we have this wonderful interchange, this interesting interchange between the disciples and Jesus Christ. And the disciples do what the storm was unable to do. They wake him up. Jesus is calmly sleeping through that storm. And yet the perturbation of the disciples, their disturbance within them, their fears, their unbelief, that wakes Jesus up. There's kind of an irony in that. The storm didn't wake them up. The disciples did. And they shake him and say, "Master, don't you care that we're going to drown?" Now, Matthew has Jesus question the disciples first, and then his statement of the calming of the sea. But I'm going to take that first. Jesus gets up, and one of the other gospel writers captures it this way, that he says to the wind and the waves, "Be muzzled," just like you might say to your dog or your, well, not your cat, they don't listen anyway, but your dog, you know, "Be quiet, and maybe they'll listen to you." That's Jesus' power of the storm. It's like his pet. He has command, and the amazing thing about the miracle, not only his power over the miracle, but it immediately became calm. You know that if you're in a boat and there's kind of the waves and the storm all stops, there's still kind of a little time for the waves to get flat. Not this one. Suddenly and immediately at the command of Jesus Christ, there's this sudden calm. And Jesus asked the disciples a question. It's phrased in different ways. Here in Matthew it is, "You have little faith, why are you so afraid?" It actually should be the other way around. "Why are you so afraid? You have of little faith." That seems like a rebuke to us, and in some ways it is a rebuke. It may be a little harsh perhaps, but it's not that he thinks they don't have faith, but it's that their faith is small. The other writers, the other gospel accounts, particularly Luke, has a very wonderful way of expressing this question. Jesus asks them, "Where is your faith?" It's not that they don't have faith, but where is it? Where is that faith placed? Or perhaps we could say it this way, in whom is your faith? Now, there's something very important, perhaps the second greatest lesson of this particular passage is so important for you and I to get a hold of, because so many of our Christian friends in other situations misunderstand this. The work of God in your life does not depend on the power and strength of your faith. It's not that you have to work up this great faith or some emotional experience and somehow, because you often have some of your friends, "Well, if you only believed enough, you would receive that blessing from God." Your faith has nothing to do with what's in you. Your faith has everything to do on in whom you place your faith. The strength of your faith isn't in you. The strength of your faith is in the one you trust. That's what great faith is all about. Great faith is trust in a great God. And Jesus' question, "Where is your faith?" The disciples in the storm, their faith was in the boat. Their faith was in the storm. They were looking at the storm. You see, their focus was on the storm. And that's natural in many respects, but what Jesus is saying is there's someone more important you got to keep your eyes on. Where's your faith? Where is it focused? Where's your attention? And then the disciples ask a question of among themselves. And Matthew here is that they were amazed and they asked, what kind of man is this? The other gospel accounts that they asked, who is this? That even the winds and the waves obey him. And their response to that question and the thought that comes to that question is that here in Matthew, they're amazed. In Mark, they feared a great fear. They're beginning to understand who this is in the boat with them. This is the one, the divine God who created the heavens and the earth, who commands the seas and the waves and the winds. This is who's here in our boat. The divine power of Almighty God. It's He the one that stills the storms and the waves. He's the creator, the sustainer, the sovereign one here in the boat with them. So they ask themselves the question, who is this? And they're beginning to, it's not going to stay clear in their heads the rest of their time with Jesus, but they're beginning to come to an understanding of who is this. Well, beloved, as we reflect on this particular passage and the wonder of it, the encouragement that I want to leave you with and the thought I want to leave you with is that when you are in your storm, and if you aren't in it, you will be in one. When you're in your storm, to ask these two questions. Where is your faith? Where is your hope? Where is your trust? Where are you placing it? In the circumstances, in the lost business, in the illness, where is your faith? What are you holding on to? Where is your trust? You need to remind yourself in answering the question, you're trusting in the mighty God, the creator of the ends of the earth. The God who is with you every moment and every step of the way. You're not in the boat by yourself. God's in the boat with you. It's to remind you that the storm didn't come by accident, but it's part of the divine purpose of Almighty God for you. And that God who has this purpose for you is a God who doesn't do these things capriciously or out of meanness, but He brings the storm out of great love. Out of great desire to see you know Him better. Grow in Him. So the first question, in your storm, ask yourself, where is your faith? Get your eyes off the circumstances as much as you possibly can and get them on the Lord. And the second question is to ask, I guess I've kind of asked, who is this? The second, where is your faith along with that? Where is your eyes? Is it on the divine God who is there with you in the storm? Because the wonder of this storm, the wonder of this story is not even in the miracle. The wonder of this story is in the one who is there with them in the boat. It's Christ. And Jesus Christ demonstrates His power, that there is no power on heaven, in heaven and on earth and hell below, and there's no power that exists that can thwart His plan. And our hope and our trust needs to be in Him. And even though through our tears, we go through our storm, let our focus always be on Christ. And in Him, God will ultimately bring us peace. May that be your possession and your blessing. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your help to us through your word. Thank you for revealing so much to us about your Son, Jesus Christ, and the purposes of you in our lives. Help us as we reflect on this particular event in the disciples' life, that we, as we reflect on the revelation of our Savior Jesus Christ, may we reflect on it for our own lives and the different challenges that come our way. Many times very painful, and yet always very hopeful and purposeful in your hands. Thank you for the reminder that you're always there with us. May we hope in you in that regard, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.